Good morning, family. Good morning. Hope you enjoyed singing those songs together. I sure did. And I hope that as we sang those songs, maybe you picked up on a theme that was shown. Okay. Not on? Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
That helps. Thank you. My ear's still there, right? So let's start again. I hope you enjoyed the songs, and I hope that you noticed a theme throughout the singing of those songs, especially that last one. And in fact, that song that we just sang, you will see that song in some way, shape, or form in our text this morning. And I would encourage you to take your Bible and just probably crack it right down the middle, and you'll land somewhere near Psalm 119 if you don't hit it. Exactly. It's kind of the hardest chapter in the Bible to miss, since it's the longest chapter and it is right in the middle of your Bible. So look at Psalm 119. Follow along with us this morning in your bulletin sermon outline. And let's take a look at this psalm together this morning. Now, as I look out at our audience this morning, there are some of our members here this morning who have a distinct advantage over some others. Some of us who have done something very important in our walk with God that has given us, shall we say, a lot of leverage in our relationship with God. Some of you this morning have learned a very, very important victory secret that I'm going to make sure is not a secret this morning that will help us to win in life. They are individuals that, because of what they've chosen to do in their relationship with God, they are winning big in life, not because of a lot of money or a lot of things, but because of a unique aspect of their relationship with God. These are folks who know that they have no joy that is deeper or stronger than the joy of intimately knowing and loving God. And what is the secret to us deeply knowing and loving God? What is the secret for our victory today? You might be holding it in your hand right now as you hold the Word of God. That's right. God's Word is the secret to you winning in life. The secret to you being victorious over situations that you face in life. Some of our members here sitting in the pews this morning are winning with the Word. And if you're not part of that group, or you'd like to be part of that group, or you'd like to get stronger in that group, you've come to the right place this morning, because this morning we're going to be talking about how to win with the Word of God. The way your Creator made you was to be empty without a relationship with Him. And the thing that gets in the way of our relationship with God, very simply, all of us know, is disobedience. Or a shorter word would be sin. Sin is what gets in the way of our relationship with God. And whether you realize it or not, deep inside of you, you actually have God-programmed a desire to want to obey God. That's in your DNA. God put that in you, a desire. Maybe it's strong, maybe it's not so strong, but you have a desire to be obedient to God, to do those things that are right. We call it morality, but I think it's a little bit different than that. It is a divine thing that God has placed within all of us. We desire to obey God. And so what we do is we go through life in some way, shape, or fashion, trying our best to obey God, but then at moments, hopefully not too often, we discover that we are imperfect. That is, we don't obey God perfectly. And when you are doing good, and when you are pleasing God, let me tell you, Christian friend, you are in your sweet spot. You are in that place that God wants you to be in. You have a satisfaction in your soul that material things cannot bring to you in your life. So I want to talk about this passage this morning. How can a young man keep his way
pure? How can they secure their heart? How can they win with the Word and cleanse their way according to the Word of God? That's what we want to talk about this morning. Now, getting back to these moments in our walk with God, where sometimes we are disobedient, you have to recognize that you are in a very compromised position. What happens is, as you're trying to, and God made you this way, as you're trying to obey God, and when you don't obey God, you are a very conflicted soul. You are the individual that Paul describes himself as in Romans chapter 7, as an individual who is wanting to do good. The good that I want to do, I don't do, and the bad that I don't want to do, Paul says, those are the things that I do. And so he's basically saying, I can't win. I'm trying to win. I do it at moments in my life, but then there's times when I want to do good things and I don't do it, and I don't want to do the bad things, but those are the things that I do. So have you ever felt like that? I mean, have you ever felt like the Apostle Paul, just thinking, boy, I just can't seem to win consistently enough, and it's really bothering me. What you need is, in your life, is you need ongoing obedience. Now, there's a word for it in the Bible. It's a fancy word, but it's really not that fancy. It is the word sanctification. I want to share with you a couple of passages that deal with this. Here, the first one on the screen is from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 3 he says, it is God's will that you, he's talking to Christians, that you should be sanctified. And he goes on to say that being sanctified, he says, that you then each of you should learn how to control your body in a way that is holy and honorable. That is God's will for your life. He wants you to have a holy and honorable life. He wants you to be, the word sanctified means set apart. Set apart from those that are doing wrong, set into a category with God of those who are doing right. That's really what is in your makeup. That's what God wants for you, and you have the capacity to do it. So God says, I want you to obey, and I want you to do it for the long haul, that you control your body in a way that is holy and honorable. Now, Jesus then went on to say, in his priestly prayer, we call it, the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, in verse 17, as he's praying to God, he says to God, looking at his disciples, knowing that he's leaving them, he says to God about his disciples and future disciples like us today, he says, sanctify them, that's the apostles, that's us today, disciples of Christ, how are they going to be sanctified? He says, sanctify them by your truth. How are they going to get that truth? He says, your word is truth. You hold within your hand, Christian friend, you hold the sanctifying power of God in these holy pages that are in your hand this morning. Your word, Jesus says to God the Father, is truth. And that's how we are sanctified. Now, the challenge that we have in life today then, and the challenge that we face on an ongoing basis, is the idea of letting God's Word live in us. Not just for 30 minutes during a sermon now, not just maybe for a 5-minute quick little reading of God's Word that you might do during the week, and I hope you do that and more, but sanctify them by your truth. God wants us to be sanctified, and the challenge is letting this Word actually live in us. If you have your Bibles open this morning and you're at the 119th Psalm and you go through these verses with me, you're going to see some things I think that will encourage you to let God's Word live in you. I'm going to give it as my 4D sermon this morning. They all start with a letter D. What you need to do, and we're going to see this in the 119th Psalm, is you need to discover God's Word. You need to delight in the Word. You need to discern the Word. And finally, you need to depend on the Word of God. Everybody follow me so far? We're going to get into the Word this morning. We want to let it live in you. I want it to be hidden in your heart that you might not sin against God, that you might win in life. So our first point this morning is you need to discover God's Word. Whether you're starting out as a young man or whether you're an old man, or whether you're a young lady or an old woman, whatever the case, all those categories in between, we see here that we all need a compass in life. We need something to direct our path. In the opening verse there, in the first line of that verse 9, he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? You have a way that is before you. You have a path. You have a destiny. You're trying to reach somewhere and you're going down a path. You want the path of purity. How are you going to keep that path and that way pure? That is the question of the hour. But you see, first of all, we have to acknowledge that it is God's Word that is going to point the way, that is going to cleanse our path. That's really what we are saying here. And so the psalmist points out first that God's Word points the way. I want to say this very clearly. If you right now in your life, if you are not determined to look to God's Word to guide your path, then your surroundings and your circumstances will guide your path. Did you hear what I said this morning? If you do not make a concentrated, concerted effort to look only to God's Word to guide your path, then your circumstances and your surroundings will guide your path, and I guarantee you will lose. You will not win. We only win with the Word. This is the first step in coming to know God and His will for your life. Too many people have some fuzzy idea about God, that He's this cosmic deity somewhere out there that sort of just spun this world into existence and just created all this stuff and then walked away and left us with nothing to guide us. No guidance or direction. We're supposed to just kind of make it up as we go along. And there's God and there's morality, but you decide, you know, the younger generation is talking about your truth. Your truth and my truth. Listen, there's not your truth and my truth. That might be your opinion and my opinion, but there's only one truth. Amen? This is the Word of God. This is where you've come this morning. You want to direct your path? Look to the Word of God. Now, a lot of people today will say, well, I'm following Jesus. And sometimes that following Jesus is just following the Jesus of my interpretation, the Jesus that I like, the parts of Jesus' life that I like that He didn't, might be other parts that I don't, but I'm going to follow my Jesus, my truth. You know, following Jesus without following the Bible is like trying to swim without getting wet. Not going to happen. You got to jump in this pool right here this morning. Grab your Bible. Jump in. We're going to get wet this morning, okay? We're going to follow God's Word. It will direct our paths. You know, there are some people who even say they believe in God and they believe in the Bible, but they believe the Bible is some, just really good book that's got some really neat ideas, some crazy, really good principles and all of that, but they don't believe that the Bible is inspired. They don't believe that the Bible is authoritative. They don't really want something telling them what to do. They don't believe it's inspired. They don't believe it's authoritative. And they do not believe that it's our only guide from God. But the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, it's not within a man to direct his steps. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death, off the cliff, the wrong path. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God. And is profitable for you, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God, verse 17, might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every path, every good work that you decide to do, you need to look to the all-inspired Word of God that is profitable for you, that will guide you. It's inspired, it's God-breathed, given to you, a gift you cannot reject, that you instead must look to for guidance. Discover that Word. If you believe in God, and if you want to know Him,
And if you want to find out how to please Him, if you want to find out how to keep your way pure, if you want to know how to win in life, then you need to discover the Word of God. Secondly, I find that the Word of God also provides power over sin. And this is why you need to discover God's Word, a big reason, because it provides power over sin. The psalmist said in verse 11 there, I'll read it off the screen, he says, I've hidden your Word where? In my heart. We'll talk about that later. I've hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Translation, it's in my heart because I want to win. I don't want to sin. He says, praise be to you, O Lord. He says, teach me your decrees. With my lips, he says, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. That's why we say the Word of God is God-breathed. It came from the mouth of God. That's why Jesus said when He was tempted and He wanted to win against the devil in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, He said, man shall not live, we say it in the song too this morning, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceeds from the mouth of God. You have a written word today that proceeded from the mouth of God and will continue to proceed to give you direction to help you win in life as well. God's Word, though, provides power over sin. And though we're never going to be perfect, we are never going to be sinless, we still can sin less. And we'll have the power to do that only when we look to this book, this book from God to direct our paths. And when we discover this Word for our lives, then when we hide God's Word in our heart, then we might not sin against Him. You know, our society today has a very unusual, well, I shouldn't say unusual, it seems logical to people today. You know how we deal with sin today? Education, legislation, and relocation. That's how we deal with sin today. Education, legislation, and relocation. Society tackles sin by education, legislation, and relocation. But God says that it's only by hiding His Word in our heart that we'll ever really have the power in overcoming sin. You see, with education in our schools today, we're just producing more intelligent sinners. With legislation, we're just making more laws that put people behind bars. And with relocation, we're just putting more people behind bars so that later on they can get out and commit more crime anyway. See, that's not going to take care of the problem of sin. You've got to get this thing right here deep down in your heart. You've got to hide the Word of God in your heart. We've got to get God's Word in people's hearts if we want people to truly have the power over sin so that they can win. So the first thing you need is to discover God's Word. Let's go to our second point this morning. In addition to discovering God's Word, here's the next progression of thought here. You need to delight in God's Word. I hope that, like David, each of you this morning, if someone were to have said to you, we get to go to the house of God today and worship God, I hope that put a smile on your face. I hope the desire that you had to get into God's Word today and swim in it and let it live in us, that brought a smile to you. That brought delight to your heart. It should do that for us today. We should delight in the Word of God. And you know, he talks about here, contrasting the idea of delighting in God's Word versus a delight that someone might have in riches. Notice the verse he says in verse, I think I'm not at the right part. Let's see, where am I at? Got to get to the right screen. Oh, okay, there it is. He says in verse 11, I rejoice in following your statutes like one who rejoices in great riches. You know, we put a high premium today on riches, don't we? Having nice things in life. And I even hear some Christians saying that, hey, listen, when I have something nice in my life, boy, I am really blessed by God. God has blessed me with these wonderful things that I have. It concerns me the way I hear about people talking about blessings. If you think that being blessed is about material things,
you have no idea what a blessing is. Amen? If you're looking at your bank account, you're looking at your driveway and the car that you have and the nice things you have, and you say, well, I'm blessed by God, and that's your idea of blessings, you have no idea what a blessing really is. Even the inspired psalmist right here said that he delighted in God's testimonies like one, or similar to one, who rejoices in riches. And I have a feeling he really could have gone on to say that we should actually rejoice in God's word more than we rejoice in riches. Too often we delight in other things and we miss out on God's true blessings. What did the psalmist start out with in this entire masterpiece called the Book of Psalms to talk about what a blessing is? You know the verse, don't you? Psalm chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who what? Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in it, he meditates day and night. And because of that, the psalmist says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who gives forth its blessings, and its leaf will not wither. And whatever he does shall what? Prosper. You know another word for prosper? Win. You win in life when you plant God's word in your heart, when you decide to act on it and live by it. That is what brings blessing, not material things. That is the true blessing in life. Yes, God's word brings a blessing that it brings a satisfaction. It brings what it brings is that it's interesting how the word satisfaction and sanctification are so similar. It brings a sanctification. It brings your soul a degree of satisfaction that material things cannot provide at all. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 119. And now I want to go to verses 15 and 16. Psalm chapter 119. I thought I had it on the screen. I guess I didn't. Okay, I should have put it there. Psalm 119, and we'll begin reading at verse 15. Let's do it the old-fashioned way. It's not on the screen. Psalm 119, in verse 15, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. See, this verse and the verse I have on the screen here says that God's word gives us, here's the tremendous blessing, it gives us wisdom. Isn't that really what we need in life? We need wisdom, amen? A lot of us. I need wisdom. That's why I got married, so my wife can give me some wisdom, you know? But I want more of that. I want to listen to God's word. God's word brings wisdom to our lives. Now I want to go to this next psalm, Psalm 119. Go way ahead in the chapter now to verse 100. I love this. Listen to what the psalmist says and about wisdom and what it does for you. I love this passage here. In Psalm 119, beginning in verse 97, he says, oh, how I love your law. Why do you love the law? He says, I love your law. He says, I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me, what? Wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. He says, I have more insight than all my teachers. I have more understanding than the elders. And he goes, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You get wisdom from God's word that puts you in a better position than your enemies. Wisdom that puts you in a better position than your teachers. Wisdom that puts you in a better position than the ancients or the elders, those people that are older and supposed to be smarter. Well, but God's word, you can be even smarter than them. Wiser than really is the choice. And then ultimately, of course, you'll have the power over sin. Let me ask you a question. What would you rather have? Listen to me, Christians. What would you rather have? A better life or the wisdom to know how to have a better life? You see, that's like asking the question, what would you rather have me give you a fish or teach you how to fish? If I give you a fish, you got the blessing for now. Once you eat it, it's all gone, and then you don't have a fish unless you know how to fish, right? Well, some people want the blessed life. They want the little things that come up front. So, well, that's really nice. But wouldn't we want instead to have the wisdom to continue in that and enjoy that? The wisdom to have a better life is really what we need. In Psalm 119 and verse 65, the Bible says that the Word of God brings tremendous peace within. How many of you think this morning that peace is a really, really good blessing from God? I do. I want it all the time. I may not have an understanding if that's why I need a peace that passes all understanding. I may not have an understanding of things, but when I have peace in my soul, that's a blessing you can't put a price tag on. Well, Psalm 119 verse 65 says that the Word of God brings a tremendous peace within. So do all that you can to delight in God's Word. Let's go to our point number three this morning. We've talked about discovering God's Word and delighting in God's Word. My third point is that if you want to win with the Word, you need to discern the Word. The psalmist was not satisfied with just reading God's Word. He wanted to discern the Word. He said he wanted to see wondrous things in it. Isn't that what we want? To see wondrous things, he says to God, he says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in your law. That was his desire. He was not satisfied with just reading. He wanted to see wondrous things. He knew that the Word of God helps you to see those wondrous things. Discerning the Word is actually not as hard as some people make it out to be. I'm gonna pick on myself and other preachers for just a minute. I apologize, church, for all those preachers out there that make the Word of God seem complicated. That even, in fact, present it in such a way that they've got an inside track on it. And they can know and understand it and give you little little crumbs of it, but you can't get what the preacher gets when he studies. That is just not true at all. Amen? Every child of God can read the Word of God, be blessed by it, understand it, even have more wisdom, as we've seen already, than your teachers or your elders or the ancients. All those things, even, of course, your enemies, you want to have more wisdom than them, right? All of that's true. We can see wondrous things in the Word of God. The Apostle Peter kind of picked on Paul as a preacher in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16 when he said, Paul wrote about some things that are hard to understand. You ever read that before? Kind of picking on another preacher. He wrote about some things that are hard to understand. And I got to tell you something, even the Apostle John wrote about some things that were hard to understand in the book of Revelation. Amen? Yeah, things that are hard to understand. But you know what? There are things that we can understand, and God knows that there are things that we can understand in a basic way that helps us to live the life that He wants us to live. Will we all understand all of the intricacies of Scripture? No. But we'll understand what God wants us to know. We can certainly understand all there is to know about eternal life and about how to live a life that's pleasing to God. That's why the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know that, and you can know that. He hasn't made it difficult. Salvation and how to have a relationship with God and be saved, it's not difficult. It's really quite simple. So what we need to do then is learn from God's Word how to be saved, learn how to obey God and live for God. And so then we can obey the admonition in the Bible that says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show yourself approved to God, a worker in God's Word that does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. This is truth. And God doesn't want you to be ashamed. He wants you to be a worker who's rightly dividing the Word of God. So I think if He's made that admonition, He's not going to make it too difficult for us to understand the things that we need to know. The wondrous things we learn from God will lead to eternal life and a life better here on earth, a life where we could be wiser than our enemies, wiser than our teachers, wiser than our elders as well. The Word of God, now I'm going to say something a little off the collar here. The Word of God also helps you, I have no other way of saying it, it helps you to not look stupid, okay? Look at this psalm here. He says in chapter 19, 119, verse 22, "Don't let others mock and humiliate me, since I keep your statutes." Did you get that? I'm keeping your statutes, God, so don't let them mock me. Don't let them humiliate me. He goes on to say, "Though rulers sit and they slander me." Is that going to happen in your life? Yeah, people above you are going to, "Oh, how stupid that person is," right? "They slander me," he says. Though that's true, he says, "Your servant will do what?" That's right. I'll keep reading. I'll keep my nose in your book, God. I don't care what they do. I hope they don't humiliate me. I hope they don't mock me. But even if they do, I'm going to keep on reading God's Word. You know, whether you follow God's Word or not, others are going to mock you. And they're going to humiliate you. When you live by the Word, it may put a stop to that right away. But maybe it won't. Maybe it's months later, years later. Maybe it's not all the way until the judgment that you finally say, "Ah, look, I'm not looking so stupid now," right? That's where it goes. You know, someone once said that Noah looked pretty stupid until it started raining. Now you think, okay, maybe that's not funny. See, after it started raining, they said, "Well, he knew what he was doing. He was following God." You know, the prophet Isaiah, he must have looked pretty stupid when in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22, Isaiah the prophet said, "The world is round." At a time when everyone thought what? The world was flat, square, whatever else, right? They all looked at Isaiah, "Ha, ha, ha, how stupid." They mocked him, I'm sure they did, when he said in Isaiah 4, chapter 40 and verse 22, "The world is round." Later on, they found out he wasn't so stupid after all. He was in the Word of God. With God's Word, you'll always have truth, no matter what the rest of the world believes. I want to go to my last point this morning. We said you need to discover God's Word. You need to delight in God's Word. You need to discern God's Word, no matter what others think about it. And fourthly, you need to depend on the Word of God. Now, the psalmist, in this 119th psalm, down to about verse 25, you'll see the psalmist is weary in his soul. He is clinging to the dust. He is beaten down by life. He is tired of broken promises, tired of the lies that he's hearing in the world. You ever feel like that? He says that in verse 29. You know, we're living in a time where promises don't mean anything anymore, where you can't trust anyone. You can't just do a little handshake. You got to write out this long contract and read between the lines and all that good stuff. You can't trust anyone. You can't depend on anyone anymore. While the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56, not one of God's promises have ever failed. Do you take solace in that? I do. I'm opening up a book right here. Not one of these promises have failed. Wouldn't you like to have a book like that? Wouldn't you like to have a friend like that? A relationship with a Creator like that? Who says, "I'm never going to lie to you. Everything I tell you, you can take it to the bank. You can trust it all the way through in a world filled with lies." You know, how can you survive in a culture today where should I bring up politics here? You know, where all the politicians and the lawyers and everybody else, not just them, are lying all the time. And that's the culture that we live in. How are you going to survive in that? Now, it's only by depending completely upon the Word of God. The Word of God is necessary for your survival. Look at the verses here in verses 25 through 28. He says in verse 25 that God's Word preserves you. He says in verse 28 that God's Word strengthens you. When your soul is weary from all the lies, all the deception, all the falsehood out there, and the deceit that's in this world, you can depend on the Word of God. In fact, your God-programmed sense of truth that God has put inside of you cannot survive all the madness that surrounds you in this world. Your divine spirit within needs truth, something that you can depend on and can survive with. And you'll find that in God's Word, because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25 that the Word of the Lord endures forever. And you'll always discover that, as he says in this psalm in verse 30, you'll discover that you have chosen the way of truth. I didn't put it on the screen, but if you have your Bibles open to that 119th psalm, you'll see that in verse 30. I love that. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. Well, I did put it on there. It's right there. I've chosen the way of truth. You know, not only is God's Word important for your survival, but even above and beyond that, God's Word is also important for your growth. Physical food may grow your body, but it takes spiritual food from the Word of God to grow your heart. You see, we're concerned about our bodies, and that's okay. We need to have a concern about our bodies. But you may have a concern for growing your body, but you should have an even more concentrated concern when it comes to growing your heart. Growth in your heart is growth for the soul and results in what is called, in verse 32, he calls it an enlarged heart. He's not talking about the physical organ. He's saying an enlarged heart, that is spiritual growth. And this takes us full circle then back to Psalm 119 and verse 11, where he talks about, remember, hiding, I promised you I'd get back to this, hiding God's Word where? In your heart. What you need to do in this life is grow your heart. And that only happens by putting God's Word in your heart. And again, this is how you purify your way. This is how you win with the Word. In conclusion this morning, let me just ask you, are you winning with the Word? Have you discerned the Word? Are you delighting in the Word? Are you discovering the Word? Are you depending on the Word of God? I'm going to say this morning. So, elders, I am going to preach the announcements today. We talked about the Word of God today. We're going to be making some changes in our Bible school program, in our education here, Sunday morning classes and other, but primarily the Sunday morning. We're going to be offering some new classes here. Can I tell them about one? Just one new one? We're going to be offering class on marriage enrichment. These are not like troubled, you know, banged up marriages that need, we're talking about just making a good marriage a great marriage. We're going to be doing a marriage enrichment class. You need to be in that class. You need to be in any class that's teaching the Bible. And what we're going to ask you to do is, we make these changes to our Bible school program, we need all of you, some of you that only come Sunday mornings and don't come to class, we need you to be committed to that. Will you at least try it out one Sunday? Will you come and say, I want to win with the Word. I want God's Word in my heart. I'm tired of losing, and I want to be on the right track. I want to make sure that heaven is my home, and I want to stay with the Word of God. Will you help us with that in these new classes? You know, we have groups that meet on Monday mornings and Friday mornings and Tuesday nights and Thursday morning Bible class for the ladies. Why are these people going? I got to tell you, sometimes you just need to do this. I'm going to brag on just somebody today. I know somebody, Linda Boger, loves the Word of God. She just eats it up. And I love that enthusiasm. She just wants to be wherever they're studying the Word of God. We need more people like that who really fall in love with Jesus and know that if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to follow His Word. Because if you don't, you're trying to swim without getting wet. And we want you to get wet. Let God's Word hide in your heart. Be committed to our classes that we're going to have. We want you to win in life. Have you obeyed the Word of God in terms of your salvation, coming to Jesus Christ, acknowledging that Jesus is God's Son, and that we need to repent of our sins? If you'll do that this morning, then be baptized to have those sins washed away, then you'll have God, Jesus, in your heart. You'll have God's Word in your heart, and you'll stay in the Word and win with the Word. We want you with that to happen for you today. If you're a child of God and you've left the Lord and you need to come back, will you come right now as we stand to sing?